Music tonight, right? Good singing, amen? Amen. I don't know about you, but I love God, amen? And the great thing that we have in common tonight is that we serve a great God, a God that loves us, a God that cares for us, a God that provides for us, and a God that provided the ultimate sacrifice, Himself, on a tree for you and I, amen? Amen? Aren't you glad you're going to heaven tonight?
Amen.
And I don't know about you, but I'm ready to get there. Amen. Thrilled that we serve a great God. I want you to open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 5 and verse number 12. I wish I had a joke for you. I wish I was that type of preacher. I am the worst joke teller in the world. So you don't want that tonight, trust me. You just want me to get to the preaching and get you home. Amen. And so Revelation chapter 5 and verse number 11, 12, and 13. Look there with me if you would. And let's all stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God. I want you to look at chapter 4 and verse 11. In my Bible, it's on the same page. And it says there in chapter 4 and verse 11, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Look down at verse number 11 of chapter 5. He says, And behold, I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast, and the elders, and the number of them was, notice this, 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands. This is millions of people, verse number 12, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing, verse 13. Every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto Him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. The four beasts said amen, and the 24 elders fell down, notice this, and worshiped Him that liveth forever and ever. Man, if that don't get you excited right there, nothing will. Because we serve a God that's going to live forever and ever. And He's given us the hope of heaven and eternity to live forever and ever as well. Father, we love You tonight. We thank You for all that You do for us. I thank You for being a great God. And Lord, I thank You for saving me, Lord, when I was 10 years old. Lord, I thank You for preachers who came before me, men who sacrificed, Lord, their life and their time to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank You for that. Bless now the message. May it be exactly what we need tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Revival will not take place in the lives of God's people until they begin to understand what it means to worship God. Let me say that again. I said revival will not begin until God's people get excited about worshiping God. Amen. Dr. Paul Chappell tells a story. Dr. Paul Chappell is a preacher friend of mine. He is has a good-sized college out in California and a good-sized church and just a great man of God. And he tells a story that happened to him. He was in China. He was taking a guided tour, and there was obviously a guide that was walking him through this tour. The chapel was wanting to share the gospel so bad with someone there in Beijing, but the language barrier was a great hindrance. He couldn't get through the language. And so as he was talking to this Chinese person who obviously was the guide and knew English because it was her job to take English-speaking people around Beijing and show them the sights of Beijing, he was on the tour, and he began to talk to this tour guide. The tour guide's name was Lynn, and she spoke English, and he began to share the gospel with her. He started at creation and went all the way through the resurrection, bragging on what a great God we had and what a great God we served. And when he explained the resurrection, she asked Brother Chaplin, she said, Mister, do you really believe that that happened to your God? He died. He was crucified, He was buried, and He rose again. And he said with all of his heart, Yes, ma'am, I believe it. Matter of fact, I know it happened. We have a book called The Bible that tells us that story. Lynn was still curious, and her next question shocked him, and in his words, just woke him up to the fact of the question that she asked. His words were, they'll never, he said, it left an impression on my mind that I'll never forget. And the question was this, she said, if you believe that, how do you worship your God? If you believe that, how do you worship your God? What do you do to worship your God? If you believe that. To the outside world, America is so Christianized. We have been so Christianized and so indoctrinated, and the Bible is so saturated. You can go down to the local Dollar General store and find a Bible for a dollar. That don't happen in India. You can't find that in the Philippines. You can't find that in Jamaica, other countries around the world. There's places all over the world. You can't find a place that has been saturated with the gospel like America has. It's almost foreign to us to even think about worshiping God. And we do these things and we go through these rituals. But the question this evening that I want to present to you is, how do you worship your God? What is it you do to worship the God that we believe, we say we believe, created heaven and earth? Now think about this. God created heaven and earth. What do you do? I want you to answer that question in your mind. What do I do to worship God? What, come to church? What do? Lynn presents a credible point that every unsaved person in this world has when they look at the anemic worship of modern Christianity. We fail in most areas of sacrifice for the one who sacrificed it all for us, which presents the world with a hypocritical role model at best, and truly without God, we cannot live up to the world's expectations of biblical Christianity. What they hear and hear said of what the Bible expects, and they look at us, and the two are so drastically different from what the Bible says we're supposed to be. Christ's likeness can be achieved on this earth, but it only comes through Jesus Christ and through worshiping Him. Hebrews chapter 11, dedicated to giving the New Testament church real life examples of people who lived by faith and achieved great things by faith from the Old Testament. When you read that and you begin to see how person after person after person worshiped God and gave their life to God and sacrificed to God, you begin to see and realize that it can be. You can worship God and you can do something for God and you can see something great happen in this world for God. Tell me this evening, what did you do this past week to worship your God? The Buddhists burn incense to their God. Some of them inflicted pain upon their bodies this past week. Some of them burnt themselves. Some of them cut themselves with knives. Some of them offered children to idols and to alligators and crocodiles. And some of them did some crazy things, all as a sign of love to their God. That, may I remind you, does not exist. It's a little statue that was made by their hands. The Muslims prayed this week three times a day. Three times a day in New York City. They'll literally block off sections of the road and they'll come out and put their little carpets down or their blankets down or whatever they have, and they get down and they literally will block off streets for Muslims by the hundreds and even thousands to come out and get on their face to their God. That, may I remind you, does not exist. And three times a day, they will bow themselves to the ground to a God that does not exist. I ask you the question tonight, how this past week did you and did I worship our God? What did we do? There are Muslims who fasted from food. They didn't eat food because they wanted to prove to their God how much they loved Him and what they were willing. There were some Muslims that literally took a bomb and strapped their body, that bomb to their body, and they blew themselves up because they loved their God. Somehow, somewhere, someone convinced them that in the afterlife, it was going to be so good if they had just blown themselves up. And sadly, someone woke up in hell realizing they had been lied to. And yet we hold the truth and are unwilling to walk across a street and tell a neighbor that Jesus Christ died to pay for their sins. How do we worship our God tonight? What do we do? In India, they bowed down to many different, over 3,000 different gods. They also paraded cows along the streets and they took up offerings for this cow. They took the cow and they decorated the cow and put roses on the cow and different articles. I was there in India in 2008 and I remember I was walking down the street one day. All of a sudden I saw these two men and they were in bright clothing and one was beating a drum and the other had a little tambourine. He was hitting it by his side and he was leading, okay, not the cow leading them. He was leading the cow. There were all kinds of lays all over the cow's neck. I mean, he had tons of flowers and roses and all things. And he was decorated all up and even painted all over that to be this beautiful cow. And they were leading the cow through the street. And one of the men had a little offering plate. And he was taking up an offering for the cow. We're not the only ones that take up offerings religiously. A cow that you and I know can do nothing for them. They have monkey gods. I was driving down the road at night one time. I saw something lighted up real big, and it just looked like a big, tall pole. And I was kind of looking at it. It was off in the distance, and we were coming towards it. And so my eyes kind of fastened on it. And as I began to get close, and I got closer and closer, and I was looking as we were getting ready to pass by it, and it was a monkey. It was a huge, tall monkey. I mean, that thing had to be probably 30 to 40 feet tall. And there's a big, huge pad out in front of it where they would come and bow down to this monkey. 3,000 different gods. If you kill a cow in India, you'll go to jail. And how do we worship our God? That's what they do in India. You say, why? They're committed. Someone convinced them that a cow is their God. It could be a relative from back in the day. And I mean, they've got some crazy beliefs, reincarnation, and that's in India. The Jehovah's Witness went out this week, and the Jehovah's Witnesses, think about this, the Jehovah's Witnesses knocked on doors because if they didn't, they'd be in big trouble. Listen to this now. We get to, they have to. We get to knock on doors. They have to knock on doors, because if they don't, they'll go straight to hell. The Mormons ride their bicycles for 2 years. That's their program. You grow up, you graduate from high school, or maybe even college, depending on when you want to do it. You go off and you serve 2 years on the mission field. You get a little bicycle, a little name tag, and you drive all over the place handing out the Book of Mormon. They even have supernatural underwear. And they really believe that that underwear protects them from this world. And they call us crazy. One of them was running for president. And he wore it. Huh? I think Baptists are crazy. Man, that's crazy to me. My wife sent Brother Larry and I our text. We were out the other day, and she sent Brother Larry and I our text, and they had a double X, which we are, double X, life size, adult size Superman pajamas with the cape included. And footies. I mean, zip up and all. They did not buy them, praise the Lord, because I would not wear them unless I could fly. Larry said the same thing. If I could fly with it, I might put it on. What am I saying? I'm saying it amazes me that we have the most merciful God of all of these other people who they serve, and what and what those gods ask them to do, and what those gods require of their followers. We have the most merciful God, and yet sometimes, if we're not careful, we might be the least committed. Are you following me here? And again, I know I'm talking to the choir tonight. I know I am. These are the best Christians in this area. People who are out at revival on a Wednesday night trying to serve God. I know that. But may I say, my goal as a pastor and as a preacher is to just say, hey, let's be a little more committed. My job is to pull you over, just to draw you in just a little closer to God. That's my job. That's my goal. My goal is to warn us and to remind us and to refresh our memory and to try to help us remember what we committed to. You think of the men and what they've done. Stephen was stoned. Paul died for his God. John was boiled in hot oil and lived in exile until he died. Peter was hung on a tree upside down because he had no desire. He was not worthy to die the way Christ died. These men were motivated to give their life because they took their worship seriously. Wish we had time this evening to talk and open it up for discussion and ask and go one by one and say, how did you worship your God this week? I was riding my bicycle not too long ago. I had a bicycle at that time I was riding. Not anymore. I was riding a bicycle. My phone rang. And I opened it up and it was a guy by the name of Russell Anderson. Russell Anderson is a guy who was, if you know of the college, Hiles Anderson. He's the Anderson in the Hiles Anderson. Hiles Anderson is the college that I graduated from. And Russell Anderson is the guy with the money that was given to purchase that college, the initial days. Russell Anderson also donated $20,000 to start our church in Malvern, Arkansas when my wife and I started in 2000. He comes to our church every once in a while and just a great man of God. He called me and he was in Hawaii and I was out riding my bike and he said, Brother Horton, this is Brother Anderson. I said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. He had just been with me a few weeks before. And he said, Brother Horton, he said, I got up at 4 a.m. this morning. The Lord woke me up. And he said, I was praising God and worshiping God. And he said, I was in my Bible. And he said, I decided I was going to worship God this morning. I said, okay. And he said, I took my checkbook out and I started worshiping God. I was like, okay. And he said, $65,000 later, I now feel like I've worshiped God today. And the best words were next. And 10 of it's coming to you. Like, praise the Lord. to our church, not to me personally. That's, look at that. That's how he worshiped God. Now, just stop for a second. How do you worship God? What do? How does a person worship God? What does it mean to worship God? What do you do to worship God? What is it we do at church? To worship God, when you think about it, do you give money? What do? You lift your voice. Several people sang up here today, and I've heard some great music this week, and I no doubt in my mind there were several of us standing up here worshiping God. Now, be quite honest with you, Brother Larry, tonight I was more worried about the song and it going right than I was worshiping God. But there are times, when I sing that I'm worshiping God, I'm singing from my heart. If you've ever sang, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Sometimes it's a performance and you're getting there, you're nervous, and you're more concerned about how it goes than you are singing to the holy God of Israel who created us. You know what I'm talking about, right? Am I the only one that does that? Every once in a while? How do you worship your God? Think about it. Do you lift your hands in praise to His name? Do you bow your knee in reverence to Him? Do you weep for joy over Him? Do you fast to prove your love for Him? Do you give your time to His house, maybe to clean the facilities, or maybe to clean off the parking lot out here, shovel the sidewalks? Or what is it you do to worship your God? Do you witness to those who have never heard the gospel? Tell me about your sacrifice for your God, if He be your God. What is it you do? What is it you do? What is it personally that you do to worship your God? He is your God, isn't He? My God. What do I do to worship my God? The definition of worship is this: an act of paying divine honors to a deity, religious reverence and homage. The word to adore means to admire or to idolize. When we worship, or when worship takes place, some action is produced. When worship takes place, someone knows it. When worship happens, someone see it. Can be seen, it can be touched, it's tangible. You can hear it. When someone worships God, you can't get away without knowing someone was worshiping God. That's why it's great to leave church on a Sunday singing the praises of God, and you walk out the door and you're excited. You ought to be excited when you leave church. Man, you ought to be motivated to serve God in a greater way when you leave church. Man, if you leave excited, you know you worship God. If you leave depressed, you know you didn't. I don't know how many rock stars are idolized. They're followed, waited for, written to. Young people have pictures on the walls of them. They listen to their every word. They even copy their actions and their sounds, their dress, their talk, their walk. And sadly, I wonder if we ever do that for God. Isn't it amazing what embarrasses us? Is God not worth us raising our hands tonight and praising His name? But yet for some reason the hands sometimes don't go up. Sometimes it's a little hard to do that, isn't it? Maybe it's our pride. Maybe it's we're just uncomfortable with that. I don't know how many times the Bible says to lift your hands up and praise His name. Amen. Amen. I don't know how many times the Bible says to bow your knee and worship the Lord. It's an action. Worship is an action. We can't come to church, sit on a pew, and leave and say, I worship God today. Okay, tell me how. What did you do? What did you do? Psalm 18 and verse number 3, I will call upon the Lord for who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. Revelation 4 and verse number 11, Thou art worthy, O Lord, I read this earlier, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. David Livingstone was a Scottish missionary doctor and explorer whose travels helped open the heart of Africa to missions. He spent over 33 years in Africa, tormented by diseases and thefts and attacks from natives and soldiers. He lost his wife. He lost his supplies several times over, and a multitude of other suffering, all for the sake of spreading the gospel, all for the sake of going into the natives there and trying to touch base with them and trying to open up a mission field so that others can come in and reach this continent for Christ. He commented one time, he says, people talk of the sacrifices I have made. He goes on and says, it is emphatically no sacrifice, rather it is a privilege. Anxiety and sickness, suffering and danger, foregoing the common conveniences of this life, these may take us and may make us pause and cause the spirit to waver and the soul to sink. But let this only be for a moment. All of these are nothing compared with the glory that shall later be revealed in and through us. I never made a sacrifice. That's what David Livingstone said. It was never a sacrifice. It was a joy and a privilege. The anxiety, the disease, the to everything that happened. He said it was a privilege to sacrifice for God. Is that how you feel? Every time I preach, I get convicted of my own messages. I don't always feel this way. He went on and he said this, "Of this we ought not talk when we remember the great sacrifice that he made, who left his Father's throne on high to give himself for us." David Livingstone worshiped God by giving his life. He sacrificed it. Here it is. I lay it on the altar. Whatever you want. I'll give you three statements that will clarify what worship is in order for us to either begin or continue worshiping our God. Three statements and we'll be done. First of all, I want to say worship is an act of human dignity. Turn to Psalm 66 and verse number 4. Quickly, turn to Psalm 66 and verse 4. I want you to see what the Bible says about worship. Psalms 66. Open your Bibles there. Look at Psalm 66 and look at verse number 1. Look what it says. "Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious, saying to God, how terrible art thou in thy works. Through the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee." Look at verse number 4. "All the earth shall worship thee and shall sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name, Selah." All the earth is going to worship him. Did you hear what I just said? Look at me. The Muslims are going to worship God one day. I wonder if they'll be better at worshiping him than us. I wonder if they'll be better at bowing down to God than we are, because they've been practicing for so long. They're worshiping the wrong thing. But let me tell you this. They know how to bow. Would you agree? Well, they know how to bow. I was in India in 2008. And I saw some Muslims as I was walking through the streets. And I looked into a building that was open. And I saw the Muslims bowing on their face to God. I was convicted. I was like, man, look, I mean, the devotion. Listen to me now, three times a day. I went to the church, Matthew Henry's church, and we sat in there. When we got to the church, you take your shoes off to go into church. You say, why do you take your shoes off? It's how they worship their God. Reverence. Holy. I took my shoes off and I went in. When you walk into the auditorium, the pews are all in the back. There's about five pews on either side. The women sit back there in church and the men sit up here on the floor. And as services are going on, as the preacher's preaching, every once in a while you'll see these men, Christians, not Muslims, Christians, bow down to the floor and say, "Oh God, oh God, thank you, Lord, oh God, thank you." I was convicted as I watched these Indian people who had asked us to come and teach them how to be Christians. I wasn't the teacher that day. I was the student. My dad had convicted me earlier. He said, "Son," he said, "do you take your shoes off when you pray?" I'm like, "No." He said, "Oh, okay." I said, "Why?" I said, "Do you?" He goes, "Yeah, I don't know." He goes, "I, you know, just Moses, you know, Moses took his shoes off. He's on holy ground."
I reverted back to India, and I saw all those guys. They took their shoes off and went into God's holy house because they didn't want to, listen, they didn't want to profane the church with the dirt that was on their feet. Action. What were they doing? They were worshiping their God. It's a dignified position. There's coming a day when all the earth will worship God in dignity. When you think about the worship of God, it's an act of human dignity. People who worship God reveal their awareness of God and His glory. Worship is the single most effective tool at getting God's attention. You want to get God's attention? Start worshiping Him. You want to get God's attention? Start praising Him. You want to get God's attention? Start singing to Him. Get excited about Him. Get excited about His name. Start praising Him and saying, "Man, thank you, God, for all you've done for me. I praise your name. You're holy and you're good. You're righteous. I love you. Thank you for saving me." You get excited about God. Hey, I guarantee you, you'll have His attention pretty quickly. The quickest way to getting His attention is to start worshiping the God we serve. How do you worship your God? You get on your knees. It's our reasonable service. If you are saved, you are a walking dead man who is owned by God. You say, "What do you mean?" Romans 12 and 1 says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." You say, what's a living sacrifice? It's a walking dead man. What's a living sacrifice? It means this. Soul.
Amen. Yes, sir.
I love that part in the song. That was great. I've never heard that before. Soul. That means He bought me. I belong to Him. I owe it to Him to worship Him. Number two, quickly, think about it. Worship bears the soul and humbles the body. When you worship God, listen to this now, we all see it. When you worship God, you open yourself up to everybody to see inside. But you can't worship God and not have action a part of it. You can't worship God without doing something. When you testify, what you're doing is you're worshiping God. Those of you who testify tonight, and maybe over the last couple of nights, what you did when you testified, you worshiped God. You were thanking God for your truck. Who's the guy who praises God for his truck all the time? Yes, right there. James. Every time I'm here, that boy praises God for his truck. Every time I'm here. I mean, back when, is it your grandfather? Is your grandfather was a pastor? Back when the grandfather was here, I remember hearing him saying, "I praise God." Maybe not. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think I heard him say it back then. Maybe, did you have the truck back then? Oh, it wasn't yours yet? Okay, maybe I didn't hear you say that, but I've heard it like 3 or 4 times, so maybe I'm wrong. I'm lying in my preaching. But every time I've been here, I feel like I've heard him say, "Praise God for my truck." That's how you worship your God. You're not going to let anybody forget what God did for you. Is that right? Because you're thankful for what God did for you. That's what worship is. That's what gratitude is. Worship bears the soul and humbles the body. One more statement and I'm done. Worshiping in private is how God measures our sincerity. Worshiping in private is how God measures our sincerity. Listen to this now. Worshiping in public is how He measures our humility. When we worship in public and we don't worship in private, there's a problem. It might just be a show, right?
Have you ever been in a meeting and someone was going nuts in front of everybody, jumping up and down, running all over the place and acting like a crazy fool? I'm okay with that if they're doing it in private. Huh? I don't mind you. David danced before the Lord, amen? I'm okay with that, as long as you're doing it in private. You say, why? Because in private, we see sincerity. In public, we can see humility. Are you following me here tonight? Answer the question tonight. How do you, ask yourself, how do I worship God? What do I do? I want you in your mind, write some things down in your mind. What do I do? Number one, what do I do? What do I do to worship God? Well, I go to church. That's great. Do you praise God while you're at church? Do you sing loud while you're at church? Say, well, I don't have a good voice. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. It never says that you had to have a great voice to be able to sing. Our choir, anyone can be in our choir. I mean, anyone and everyone is in our choir. My wife, she every once in a while, she's got this lady that stands right next to her. God bless her. She's a little slow. Do you hear what I said? She's a little slow. I'm not saying that jokingly. I'm saying it seriously. She's a little slow. Her name is Christy. When Christy sees me, she walks up to me and she goes, Brother Horton, can I have a hug? And I say, I'll tease her sometimes. I'll give her a hug. Sometimes I won't, and I'll mess with her a little bit. Christy can't sing worth a lick. Not this Christy. This other Christy can't sing worth a lick. But she's in the choir. And she sings sometimes at the top of her lungs. Let me ask you a question. Do you think God gets glory from that lady singing? She's not the best. My wife sometimes wants to hold her ear. But God is wide open. He's lit. Why? It's coming from the heart. Not the lungs. Not the vocal cords. How do you worship God tonight? Father, we love you tonight. Just a simple message about worshiping God. Lord, I pray that we worship God with our heart and our life and our soul, private and public. Lord, I pray that people would get serious about worshiping you. They'd bend their knees to you. They'd raise their hands. They'd praise. They'd sing. They'd shout. They'd get excited about serving you. Lord, I pray that we would worship God the way you feel loved and worshiped. Bless the message tonight. May it grab a hold of our hearts. Lord, I thank you for all you do for us. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed tonight.